Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or call them at 877-646-5347. Again, that's 877-646-5347. Make sure to go to TimCast.com, click Join Us, and become a member to support this podcast and all the work we do, and you'll get access to exclusive uncensored segments from TimCast IRL and way more. Now, let's jump into the first story. Yesterday, the long-awaited Durham report was released, and to be honest, we didn't learn a whole lot. I mean, we kind of did, but you all knew this. You all knew that powerful forces in the Democratic Party were lying to smear Trump, to frame him as a Russian asset. They had personalities going on TV saying the craziest things imaginable, like Donald Trump may have been a Soviet agent. That's right. Working for the communists going back to the 80s, Jonathan Chait proclaimed on MSNBC. It's insane. And now we're learning more about this. Granted, in the Durham report, we're not getting any kind of criminal referrals, but we do have the FBI outright admitting to wrongdoing. And then what? Ladies and gentlemen, I had people asking me yesterday with TimCast IRL, why aren't you talking about the Durham report? And, well, a couple reasons. One, it is hundreds of pages long, so I want to actually go through it, and we're going to have people go through it. But the preliminary news is breaking news. Everything you already knew was true is true, and that's it. The FBI responded by basically saying, yup, we did it. Bye. So then what? What do we get out of this? I don't know. If you go to your liberal family members or friends and say the Durham report basically confirms what we knew, they're going to say Donald Trump appointed his lackey to do this for him. And how convenient that it's coming out in 2023 as we're gearing up for elections and Donald Trump is running. I don't know what to tell you. We did learn a lot of interesting things, don't get me wrong. But it's not what we're learning basically is the fine details of what they did. But there's not much more you can get out of it. I mean, maybe we'll see. We have this from Fox News. FBI responds to scathing Durham report on Trump-Russia probe, touts dozens of corrective actions. That's right. They just basically admit it. Here you go. From the FBI National Press Office. Statement on report by Special Counsel John Durham. They say, the conduct in 2016 and 2017 that Special Counsel Durham examined was the reason that current FBI leadership already implemented dozens of corrective actions, which have now been in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in the report could have been prevented. This report reinforces the importance of ensuring the FBI continues to do its work with rigor, objectivity, and professionalism. The American people deserve and rightly expect. The FBI is crooked as it comes. That's just the reality. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good people in the FBI that do, you know, your beat work, your general stuff. The FBI does stop bad crimes. They do. Not every person at the FBI is bad. I've actually met some people at the FBI, informally of the FBI, who are actually pretty good. And it's funny when people on IRL chat are like, feds, feds. I'm like, some of these people are way like a whistleblower from the FBI recently. There's a lot of people who are just regular people. I was talking to someone who worked in intelligence, and I asked them, is inside the intelligence agencies, is it like pro-Democrat, hardcore? And they said, It's the same thing inside as it is outside. Conservatives are too scared to speak up, and the left is running roughshod over everybody. Wow. What they said is there's good people. Most people are probably good people, just like you'd expect in the real world, but they don't want to speak up for the same reasons. They'll lose their job. They'll be shunned. They don't want to be pushed out. And that's the problem. And that's why I often say conservatives had too many cowards among their ranks, people who are unwilling to say outright what needs to be said. So even in these intelligence agencies, what I've heard from those in D.C. and those who work in federal law enforcement, the problem with the FBI is its leadership, the DOJ, and the Washington, D.C. office. That most of the offices around the country actually are kind of pretty good. Not completely. I mean, you still have bad people doing bad things, but just the general work is fine. You know, I'm sure the anarchists and libertarians are like, how dare you, Tim? No, but I mean, like, a lot of stories are, you know, busting people for violent crimes, kidnappings, just general day-to-day stuff that doesn't move the needle in the news on the news stage. But the problem is, at the highest levels, the FBI is weaponized and was weaponized against Donald Trump in what can only be described as a soft coup. Now, of course, there's plausible deniability. They'll say, oh, we never did anything criminal, because they know how to play the game. Hillary Clinton denies any involvement, despite the fact that you have some of these most ridiculous stories. Take a look at this one. PR executive who called Trump a madman was behind false golden showers claims. Durham report reveals Donald never stayed in Moscow suite at center of salacious story and how FBI wanted to keep paying Steele dossier source $300,000 after he lied. You see, the game they play is, we didn't do anything wrong. We just knew this guy was lying and kept paying him. I don't think it's an issue of whether or not we can prove criminal culpability. I think it's an issue of taking special action. And I believe these people should be in prison. I think they should be in prison. The argument is that because Durham didn't uncover overt criminal action or something like that, I'm like, dude, sedition. If they can go after a dude for bumbling into the Capitol, they can go after the FBI for paying a guy who lied. Sure. Make all the arguments you want. I argue it is criminal. Let's start with this story about Hillary Clinton. Revealed. Hillary Clinton denied trying to vilify Trump in 2016 by linking him to Moscow in 2022. Interview with John Durham and said in an interview and said any suggestion that she was involved was Russian disinformation. Oh, it was the Russians. Oh, surprise, surprise. Durham said in a report published Monday that the FBI should have done more to look into the Russian intelligence analysis, suggesting that 2016 presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had personally approved a plan to vilify her opponent, Donald Trump, by claiming foreign interference in the election. However, in a footnote in the report published Monday, Durham said Clinton denied trying to vilify then presidential candidate Trump when she sat down with the special counsel team on May 11, 2022. During the interview, Clinton stated to Durham's attorneys, that it's really sad, but that she understood why they had to continue to ask the questions. I get it. You have to go down every rabbit hole, she said. According to Durham, Clinton responded during the interview and asked to address declassified information by then DNI Ratcliffe about her alleged plan to stir up a scandal between Trump and Russians. She said, quote, it looked like Russian disinformation to me. They're very good at it, you know, Clinton responded. Lock these people up, they're criminals. Donald Trump, I swear, if you get elected and you don't sick the DOJ on all of the corrupt individuals, I swear. That's it. I swear. I will say curse words. I will have no faith. I have almost no faith left in this country. I have faith in its ideals, its values, the visions of the founding father. But are you kidding me? Hillary Clinton's response to all of the malfeasance is, it was the Russians who did it. This lady is psychotic. Psychotic. Clinton advised that she had a lot of plans to win the campaign and anything that came into the public domain was available to her. That's right. Anything in the public domain. So she lied. She is a cackling fiend, a psychotic, desperate woman, and she is a miserable failure. And if there's one thing that allows me to smile before bed, knowing about all the evil things these people do, it's that Hillary Clinton failed. She is historically one of the biggest failures. Oh, it feels so good to say, Hillary Clinton, you failure. You failed. You know what's funny? For all the negative things they say about Trump, he was president. What can I say about you, Hillary? You were never president. You're nothing, Senator. I mean, it's good. Congratulations, I guess. Secretary of State, failed presidential candidate. Everything you did ultimately amounted to nothing but whinging like some cackling witch. Whinge, 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 whinge. That's you are, whinging Clinton. The report also states that several other former members of the Clinton campaign were interviewed regarding the plan that Clinton had approved. Those individuals included Podesta and Jake Sullivan. Despite the government's handling of the Clinton plan, intelligence amounted to a significant intelligence failure and a troubling insistence of confirmation bias leading to tunnel vision pursuit. It did not amount to a provable criminal offense, Durham concluded. Durham also found that claims about Clinton's attempts to smear Trump received less scrutiny than allegations about her opponent, even though they were serious enough to be taken to President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden. Durham admitted that the claims were not corroborated or verified, but compares it with the now discredited Steele dossier outlining Trump's ties to Moscow, which formed the basis of further investigations. For example, an FBI intelligence analyst stated that he could not recall anything that the FBI did to analyze or otherwise consider the Clinton plan intelligence, stating that it was just one data point. This stands in sharp contrast to its substantial reliance on the uncorroborated Steele reports, which at least some FBI personnel appeared to know was likely being funded or promoted by the Clinton campaign. You see the game? Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S., with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. They played. They say, well, we didn't do anything wrong, because what they do is they compartmentalize. You get one guy to do so. Here's what you do. This would be a great movie about a bank heist. A guy walks in and then he drops a cell phone. Whoops. And then another guy walks over and picks the cell phone up and then carries it to the back, you know, to the back and says, I found this cell phone, which then goes off, sending a signal to a man who just so happened to have some other device. The point is, one by one, an individual action is taken by people who seemingly don't know each other. And then the money is stolen. It ends with someone accidentally forgetting to lock the back of the armored truck and the cash falls out. Some guy walks over, picks it up, shrugs, looks at a truck and says, did you drop this? And then puts it in the truck and shrugs and then walks away. Then the truck leaves, carrying away the millions of dollars. And guess what? Not a single person did anything criminal. That's what they're trying to say. That actually would be a pretty fun movie, right? Like there's a truck, armored truck, money falls off the armored truck, and a guy looks at the bag and he goes, excuse me, did this fall off your truck? Is anybody? I think it fell off the truck, places it there. Then a guy gets in his truck and leaves. And then if it ever comes down to the FBI investigating, they'll say, well, look, nobody actually committed any crimes. They all know each other and they all talk on a regular basis. But you see, what happened was the first guy who walked in, he bumped into the guard who dropped his keys. And then the other guy thought the keys belonged to some guy, so he gave the keys to the other guy. Then when the armored truck was going, the guy didn't realize it wasn't locked. Nobody did anything criminal. You get my point. All of these individuals did just enough to make the machine turn without any individual being able to be criminally prosecuted because of it. And that's the game they played. And that's the game they continue to play. And that's where we are now. I love this one, the framing from the media. Durham finds fault with FBI over Russia inquiry. Well, yeah, and they admitted to it. Is anyone going to be held responsible? Right now, here's what they say. The special counsel's final report nevertheless did not produce blockbuster revelations of politically motivated misconduct, as Donald J. Trump and his allies had suggested it would. Let me tell you a story, my friends, or let me make a point. If you accidentally burn down a building, you get in trouble. Yeah, you do. If you accidentally run someone over, you get in trouble. You do. Sometimes not criminally, but typically civilly, right? So right now we have the story of Daniel Penny. And they're saying even if he beats the criminal charges in New York, he may be sued civilly. Kyle Rittenhouse is being sued civilly and he's having a hard time fighting back. So now we take a look at this. Okay, we find fault over all of this. If it is true that Hillary Clinton was wrong and she was spreading wrong things, false information, civil lawsuits, because someone is still responsible for the damage that was reaped over this country. I hope Trump sues all of these people into oblivion. And with the Durham report, has grounds to actually win. In the meantime, however, ABC News says after four-year probe, Durham report slams FBI for actions in 2016 Russia investigation. Dude, it's been 7 years. 7 years since this started. It took 4 years to conclude the Durham report, and we get nothing. We knew all of this. So what do we have left? I don't think we have a country, to be completely honest. The border is open. Millions of people are pouring through. The economy is collapsing. The M2 money stock is collapsing. I saw one video earlier. They said that this has not happened since the Great Depression. Get ready. Hold on to your belts. It's going to get wild. Our government is crooked. Our law enforcement corrupt. And we all know it. So what is left? This is not to be black-pilled. It's to say, these things are all happening. Whatever you take from it, you take from it. I am just telling you, they are happening. And they spell one thing. You have no borders. You have no federal government. You have no law enforcement apparatus. You have widespread corruption. There is nothing left. Just a husk of what once was. It can be saved. The fires of passion can be reignited in this country. But what I see is the media is corrupt. Our politicians are corrupt. People are basically stealing the fine china from the Titanic as the ship sinks instead of trying to bail water to upright the ship. New York Magazine, I love this one. John Durham failed because the Russiagate conspiracy never happened. Trump's answer to Robert Mueller was a total faceplant. By Jonathan Chait. This guy went on MSNBC and said Trump may be a Soviet agent. Okay, you know the Soviet Union dissolved, right? That's right. He said Trump could have been working with the Russians since the 80s, which, you know, Russia was the Soviet Union back then, or part of. That's what he claimed. Now he's writing this. And so here we are. This one tweet is going viral from Political Sock, a Texas lawyer. He said, I was so disgusted by the January 6th riot that I deleted my Twitter account. I wrote introspective pieces on waiting to be part of the solution. I never liked Trump. The Durham report is 100 times worse than January 6th. It didn't reveal a handful of nuts getting out of hand and stealing a lectern. It revealed our highest law enforcement agency trying to undo an election on zero evidence. It didn't disrupt a formal nomination proceeding for 3 hours. It disrupted a presidency for 3 years. Yeah. And that's the important takeaway. You want to say there was no criminal activity? Okay. You still have the fact that the FBI tried to undo a duly elected presidential administration with no evidence. That's it. The FBI, whether intentionally or not, I don't care, was seeking to subvert the United States of America. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. Will anything be done? Probably not. Will anyone be held accountable? No. That's why I say this country is done. Do what you will with that information. That is not me saying the end is nigh. I'm saying, like, how can you look at this and conclude anything else? The FBI was actively trying to destroy this country and probably still are. Take a look at what happened with January 6th. Another indication this country is done. Where was law enforcement? Either they let the people do this or they were incompetent and incapable. And a bunch of people stormed into the Capitol building. So that's all that matters. Call it whatever you want. Call it whatever you will. The border is open. There's no border. There's no law enforcement. You get arrested on the whim of special interests. It is just, it is factions using the institutions of power for personal gain. And there are numerous factions and they're all fighting and they're all stealing. And sure, in the meantime, we can enjoy a nice steak dinner. But let me make something clear for all of you guys. Many of you who watch my videos know this already. And for those that don't, I'll explain. I encourage anybody to look at the history of civil war, conflict, and crisis. When Syria was embroiled in civil war and sarin gas attacks had struck in urban centers, nightclubs were still happening. People were still partying. Drinks were still being had. Cars were still driving. Food was still being delivered. And you could look at videos out of Damascus. And you didn't even know Aleppo was in ruins if you just watched these videos. The Syrian Tourism Board was still encouraging people to come party at their nightclubs. When I was in Egypt, while people are in Tahrir Square and a revolution was underway and the president was being removed, two blocks away at McDonald's. Everyone gets mad when I call it McDonald's. It's a slang term for it's McDonald's. I know. There was a guy eating a cheeseburger watching soccer. They call it football. I know. At the Hilton, there's a casino. Egyptians aren't allowed inside. I went into the Hilton in Egypt. And I went into the casino and there are people playing cards. And I just thought it was absolutely fascinating. It says you can't outside. Egyptian citizens are not allowed inside because gambling's forbidden. And I'm like, there's a revolution outside. These people were just, they didn't care. What are you doing here? It's crazy to see. People think that when a country is falling apart, when there's a revolution, when there's a civil war, that everyone's shooting each other in the streets. And that is not the case. Typically, when there's a revolution, regular people carry on doing regular things, which is why I find so much of what's happening so fascinating. That when I talk about civil war in this country, civil unrest, riots, revolutions, people say it's not gonna happen. And I'm just like, you know what's probably different between my perception, my perspective, and yours? Having actually been to countries that were in civil war or revolution, the precursors to civil war, I'll try and keep it light. I saw the exact same thing. I'm in Egypt during a revolution, and we took a car to Heliopolis and went to the mall and went shopping. And we went to and got fast food. And everyone in this mall was acting like nothing was going on. Yet their country was embroiled in revolution. People were being shot and killed in the streets. The military then went out and started massacring Muslim youth, students. But what can a person do? They have to carry on with their lives. They have to get food. They have to bring food home. This is what I see now in the United States. We know what happened. We know what they're doing. We know who was involved. We know what's happening with January 6th. We know what Merrick Garland is doing. It doesn't matter that he's the attorney general. All that matters is the Democrat corporatist establishment is willing to wield power. They're willing to smack a person down with a cudgel and beat them into submission. And the right is incapable and unwilling to protest even. I think things are changing. And I do think that although the night is always darkest before the dawn, as they say, I think we come out of this victorious. Because what happens, and this is scary, I think what happens in the United States will be somewhat different from what we see in other countries because people are unwilling to fight so aggressively, except for the far left. I think what happens is regular people get so angry with the corruption, they elect a strong man. They elect a Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump comes in and starts locking people up. That's what we need to happen. I don't care what Durham says. I demand that when Donald Trump be elected, he go in and start arresting people. If they have legitimate crimes they've committed, we start issuing indictments and arresting them. I don't care if you're a member of Congress, the Department of Justice, you name it, intelligence agencies, IRS, I don't care if you're congressional staffers. Evidence of criminal activity, you get indicted. You're a congressional staffer and you trafficked false information which led to advancement of, say, criminal prosecution that was knowingly false, lock them up. You lie to the FBI, lock them up, all of them. Fire the rest. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Carrie Lake has scored a massive victory. Her lawsuit is moving forward. She will have to present her evidence. But of course, the media is losing their minds. Now, this stems back, obviously, to the gubernatorial race in Arizona, for which Carrie Lake says that she has the evidence that there were problems in Arizona. And we know, as presented in court, there were a lot of problems. And the question is whether or not those problems rise to the level of Carrie Lake should be governor. Well, I'm being intentionally nondescript on my position because I want you to see the news story, see how they're responding to it. And I want to show you potential evidence that is being shown by Carrie Lake so you can decide. I have my opinions. You should have yours. But let me show you the news and then let me get I want to get your opinions on this. So comment below. I'm going to show you Carrie Lake posted signatures. I'm going to show you Katie Hobbs' own signature verification guidelines, and then we'll have a conversation about where this court case goes. Now, I am going to give you strong opinions on how the court case is being handled, because I think the media is being disingenuous, but let's read. Newsweek says, and this one's kind of funny, Carrie Lake scores huge win as Arizona election case heads to court. Failed Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake has claimed a victory in her legal challenge against the race's results as her last standing election misconduct claim was allowed to move forward in court on Monday. Lake, who ran with Trump's endorsement, lost Arizona's latest gubernatorial race to Democrat Katie Hobbs by more than 17,000 votes, but refused to concede. She filed a lawsuit against the election results, claiming that alleged irregularities in Maricopa County stopped her from winning in the state's most populous county. Though her legal challenge was repeatedly rejected in the state, first by a judge and then by an appeals court, Lake has appealed to have her case heard in court. In March, the Arizona Supreme Court threw out 6 of 7 claims in her legal challenge by the defeated Republican nominee, but kept the case alive by ordering a trial court to conduct an additional review of the county's procedures for verifying signatures on mail-in ballots. That is to say, all this time, Carrie Lake's lawsuit has been moving forward. Now, what the media has done and what the left has said is Carrie Lake loses, court case thrown out. Let me explain something very simply that you need to understand in terms of the context of this case as we move forward.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is not atypical that when someone is suing someone or something, an entity, an organization, a government, that they will take as many shots as possible. They will say, we are going to list 10 counts. So let's say you get defamed. Do you simply present one count of defamation, or do you try and present as many as possible because you're hoping to get one of them through? It appears to me that's what Carrie Lake's team did. They identified as many as possible, some with strong chances, some with weak, and then as the courts eliminated some remained. All in all, the analysis is Carrie Lake's lawsuit advances. Once again, it is advancing. There's no reason for me to come out and be like, judge rejects Carrie Lake's claims. And by the way, he's allowing it to advance. That makes no sense. How am I informing you if I headline the article or this video, Carrie Lake loses in court, and then all the way at the bottom of the paragraph says the judge is allowing the court case to move forward, but we consider this a defeat? This is the disservice the media has been doing to people. The case is scheduled to be heard 9 a.m. on Wednesday, May 17th in Maricopa County. Now, she may lose. I don't know. She may lose. On Monday, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Peter A. Thompson, who rejected Lake's lawsuit back in December, approved one count in Lake's lawsuit. You see what they do here? It's rejected, but approved. Amazing. Regarding signature verification procedures in the county to continue in court. Look at it. Who rejected Lake's lawsuit, but approved one count and allowed it to move forward. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Lake received the news triumphantly on Twitter. She announced huge. Following Supreme Court ruling, Maricopa County judge grants Carrie Lake the opportunity to expose election fraud in the court. Let's see the evidence. We're going to court. Get ready. She added in a later tweet. Political consultant Colton Duncan joined her in celebrating her result in court. I'm blown away, he wrote. At Carrie Lake promised the world that she would fight her election case to the bitter end and do everything in her power to expose the fraud. She's not like most politicians. She was telling the truth. Now her case goes to trial. Again, I am blown away. Well, the only thing I can say right now is I need to see the evidence as presented in court. So far, it is not resolved. So whether or not we can say anything definitively, there's been no adjudication. We are in that process. Of course, YouTube, I think it was like January 17th or something of 2021, they said from now on, no more challenging the election of 2020. At that point, I think Joe Biden was like about to be inaugurated, so I get it. Now, but at the same time, there should still be a lot leeway for lawsuits or whatever. That said anything about this, but we're currently awaiting adjudication to be finalized to see what the courts actually say. But let me just say, this is very, very interesting, and I think there's some things that we must bring up. Lake's attorneys claim that Maricopa County accepted thousands of ballots that had been previously rejected by workers for having mismatched signatures. It had first been dismissed by a lower court that said Lake had waited too long to raise the claim, but was revived by the state Supreme Court decision in March to ask the lower court decide if there is any other reason to dismiss it. Newsweek has contacted Lake's team for comment by email. And I want to say, head over to youtube.com/Timcast. The latest episode of the Culture War podcast is live with Carrie Lake, where we discuss a lot of things, and we only lightly touch on this stuff. So we're getting a lot of views on that podcast. I'm glad that people are checking it out. I think Carrie Lake is fantastic. I think she would be an amazing VP for President Trump. However, it appears that she may be going for the Senate seat instead, which is probably easier to win, and she probably will win. I'm excited to see that happen. And then maybe, I know the DeSantis and Trump people are feuding, but maybe Trump-DeSantis is the ticket. But this is interesting. The court dismissed the mismatched signatures, saying she waited too long. Huh? How do you wait too long? She filed the lawsuit immediately. What's too long? This is likely why the state Supreme Court said, what are you talking about? You waited too long. She filed after this happened and she got information. She acted within a reasonable amount of time. They then told the lower court, is there any other reason to dismiss us? Because that one ain't good enough. They said, no. Boom. Moving forward. This should get interesting. Lake will have a chance to prove whether the signature verification procedures were mishandled by Maricopa County officials and whether this affected enough votes to potentially overturn the election's result. Governor Hobbs has argued that Lake doesn't have evidence that specific mail-in ballots were illegally counted. Maricopa County officials told Newsweek the county is not commenting on litigation at this time. Well, let's take a look at where we're at and what's currently going on. Carrie Lake granted new trial must prove Maricopa County ignored signature verification rules. If she can prove it, she can. If she can't, she can't. This is what the court process is for. I am not going to sit here and say Carrie Lake won or did not win. I'm going to say, as of right now, Katie Hobbs is the governor of Arizona. It was certified. She was approved and all that stuff. On that basis, she is the winner. In terms of the lawsuit, I'm not going to say Carrie Lake is right, Katie Hobbs is right. I don't know. I'm going to let a judge decide. Now, I don't know what happens if Carrie Lake provides the evidence. What do they do? Do they remove Hobbs from office? No idea. She got to prove it. I love how the media is responding to the news. Take a look at this. Top stories. Carrie Lake's election challenge heads to trial. Well, that's a really great headline. Carrie Lake scores huge win. Well, okay. Carrie Lake election lawsuit moves forward. Carrie Lake granted new trial. Interesting. It seems like even the leftist outlets are saying she's won so far. It's a battle, not the war. I want to show you a bit of this story. Let me see if we have these opinion pieces from a few days ago. Kerry Lake election challenge shouldn't proceed, Arizona officials say. Now, why is that? Why is that? Courts have dismissed most of the former TV anchor's lawsuit. On Friday, a judge heard arguments on whether or not Lake's final claim should move to trial. Attorneys representing Arizona election officials and Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs say Lake's allegations that the election was rigged is based on unsubstantiated speculation. Here's the point with this one. We know they're saying it shouldn't proceed. It's a lawsuit. Why did AP not headline this? Kerry Lake presents, justification for advancement of suit. Why did the headline of the article side with the left? That's what I find interesting. Now, Kerry Lake claims that she had some new bombshell evidence. Apparently that was dismissed and they're going to be moving forward instead with signature verification, which I want to get to. I want to here we go. Oh, I got to show you this one. From AZ Central, Kerry Lake gets one final chance to prove she was robbed. Don't expect much, the headline said. I wouldn't hold my breath. So why? They say Lake's attorneys claim they have evidence. I'm guessing she didn't actually read the judge's tall order. She must demonstrate at trial, pursuant to her concessions, that Maricopa County's higher level signature reviewers conducted no signature verification or curing, and in doing so had systematically failed to materially comply with the law. This is, of course, in addition to the requirement that she prove that this alleged complete failure to conduct verification resulted in a change to the outcome of the gubernatorial election. That's actually on a tall order. Lake's attorneys claim to have evidence that shows at least 175,000 early mail-in ballots were illegally counted in a race she lost by 17,117 votes. That's not a tall order. This is because the county ignored a requirement that it verify the early ballots were signed by actual voters. Never mind that voters can verify that. To prove its point, Team Lake points to what it claims are phony signatures on ballots in the 2020 election. That'll be a non-starter given that Lake ran in 2022, not 2020. Okay. She is also relying on three lower-level 2022 election workers who claim they threw out anywhere from 15 to 40% of signatures, only to watch as those signatures eventually were accepted. This is the important point. Is the evidence presented publicly by Kerry Lake's team, is it about 2020 or 2022? That's what I find to be interesting. Let me pull up this here tweet from Kerry Lake saying, bombshell discovery. Today's Senate testimony confirms nearly 40,000 ballots illegally counted, 10% of the signatures reviewed. I think all the election deniers out there deserve an apology. The question is, are these signatures pertaining to 2022 or 2020? It looks like 2020. And that's what I think is important here. Now, you can argue that these signatures are no good, and there's still a lot to be said about what these signatures are. In this image she posted, we can see they're dated 2020, not 2022, when Kerry Lake ran. So I'm interested to see what evidence she has to actually argue signatures were improperly approved. Apparently, there are three witnesses. Let's see if that's enough. I got to be honest. That woman said, don't hold your breath. A little crass, but I'd say I await with bated breath. Let's see the evidence. I am very, very eager to see the evidence. What I can say is, if this image is correct, it looks like in 2020, there are many signatures that don't match. The question is, this is only what, six? Let's see, we got one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight signatures presented that appear to not match. Interestingly, this one right here, it looks like it says 88. It looks very similar to the signature up here, which looks like it just says and. The signatures don't seem to match at all. But hold on there a minute. It's an interesting thing to point out on social media. The left responded by saying that Kerry Lake was doxing people. Okay, there's no names on any of these. You can't read who the names are or who the signatures are. I don't know. This is publicly available information that was posted on many news websites. I don't believe this is at all in any way doxing anybody because you can't even read what the name is. But just because there are eight signatures does not mean there is enough evidence to suggest 17,000 would be the same way. Kerry Lake is claiming they have, what was the number? 175,000? I believe that's what it was. They claim they have evidence that shows 175,000 early mail-in ballots were illegally counted in a race she lost by 17,000. Perhaps the reason Kerry Lake did not publish those ballots is because they are in active dispute. 2020 has been resolved. They say nothing to see here. She posts eight signatures. if it's just eight, I'm not surprised that some slip through the cracks. You know, a lot of people don't like Bill Barr. He said in 2020 there was fraud, but not nearly enough to have had an outcome to affected the outcome. Here's what I think. A lot of people talk about rigging and fraud. And what you need to understand about this whole narrative is that the initial narrative presented was hacked voting machines, switched voting machines, manipulation, Dominion servers, and all this other crazy stuff that I just believe is just too ridiculous, too ridiculous. The narrative changed as more and more of the diehard Trump supporters kept saying things like Trump will be inaugurated in March, the true election day. And none of it ever happened because that's crazy. Of course, it wasn't going to happen. Many people started to say the fraud narrative wasn't actually about fraud. It was Democrat manipulation. Well, look, I'm with you. If you want to argue that the Democrats changed laws along with many Republicans to benefit themselves and hurt Donald Trump, we know that's true. I mean, there's an article in Time magazine called The Shadow Campaign to Save the Election, where they talk about how they changed rules. They made it easier for Democrats to get votes, and then they won with legal ballots. Now, many people say the signature verification thing is fraud. What I think, simply put, no, it's that the standards were not applied the way you want them to be applied. That is to say, certainly, when it comes to mail-in ballots that come in and the signatures seem irregular, there can be people who are much more lax and people who are much more strict. And if the Democrats want the Democrat to win in a Democrat district, they may look at a signature between Katie Hobbs and say, you know what? Or for Katie Hobbs' vote and say, it looks good enough for me. Then they pull up Carrie Lake and they say, these seem a little suspect. And therein lies the problem. The people who are doing signature verification could be biased themselves. But that is not an issue of fraud. It's a procedural issue with human bias. You may argue it was incorrect. That's where I think the adjudication comes in. If Carrie Lake can say these were not properly verified and then show a judge and the judge can look and say, yeah, that's not a signature. That doesn't match. Well, then there you go. And there's an easy way to understand. I have this document, Secretary Katie Hobbs' Signature Verification Guide, July 2020, saying here's how you verify signatures. Take a look at these things. Type of writing. Was it cursive? Was it printed? That's questioned. Speed of writing. Was it written really fast and shaky? Could be questionable. Overall spacing. Was the spacing weird? That could be not correct. Now, why do we do signature verification? I mean, if there's no fraud ever, what's the point? It's because sometimes there is, and we're looking for it. The issue may be not that there was widespread fraud, but that when it came to normal ballots, which would be rejected, some of them legitimate ballots, biased individuals choose some yes, choose some no. If Carrie Lake can show that the signature verification process was not done properly, or in essence, you could argue it wasn't done at all, because how do you determine whether it was good or bad? If someone presents two signatures, here's what might happen.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Carrie Lake will say, take a look at these two signatures. Her lawyers will. Do they match? A judge will say no. Then, how could someone have done a verification process if a reasonable person concludes these are not the same signature? That's it. So as USA Today says, it's a tall order to prove they didn't do it. Not really. Show the judge signatures are inherently different. And he might be like, yeah, nobody checked this. They just were pushed through. And there's witnesses claiming that's the case. I've not seen the evidence. I'm not saying it is true. I'm saying, let's see it. I got to be honest. I think in all likelihood, probably gets rejected. I really do. I'm surprised it made it this far for a variety of reasons, but we'll see. Because I think the appropriate way we handle this stuff is through the courts. And that's what we're looking at now. Considering Katie Hobbs has a guide to verifying signatures, if in any way Carrie Lake can show more than 17,117 ballots did not adhere to Hobbs's own standard of signature verification. She can make the argument it was not done. Because if you take a look at this, you've got the slant of writing. It says slant of writing. Cynthia leans right, the Cynthia leans left. She can argue the book says this would not be verified, yet it went through. Ergo, nobody verified these signatures. Okay, see what the judge says. I do not know that Carrie Lake has the evidence. I don't. She says she does. Okay, well, then bring it in court. I don't care what your claims are. Prove it or don't. I'm looking forward to seeing how this one plays out. Spelling, of course, plays a role, how the letters are spelled. Internal spacing. Here we have size or proportions of a letter. There are so many standards. Look at this. Curve, loops, and cross points. I think we have a New York Times article. This one's fascinating. It's from October 7th, 2020. And it says, two of these mail ballot signatures are by the same person. Which one? The point they're trying to make in this is that it's not easy. I'm looking at 11 signatures, and I have to find of them the two that come from the same person. Here's the issue. No person verifying a signature on a ballot is going to be looking at 11 different signatures. They're going to be looking at two. The first, the registration for the voter. Now, of these 11, which one is the original? Give me the original and then tell me which one to compare it to, and I can do it relatively easily. Tell me to go through all of these and check the handwriting style and determine which ones came from the same person is a much bigger task. This seems awfully manipulative. However, I'd like to point out to the ease at which still a reasonable person can conclude two signatures match. Take a look at this number four, for instance. You can see the pen stroke begins at the top. Notice the denser circular point at the top. That's where the ink is built up and they've pressed it to the page. They then draw it down and then it looks like they start here, loop around. I think I'm wrong about that. This one's actually interesting in how they did it. They loop around like this. I see. They went down, then up and around. And then you can see where they start and where they stop. You can then look at all the other signatures and see which ones we can exclude. For example, number six is written in two strokes of the pen as opposed to one. The name looks like it's Realm or something like that. And you can see a number six, it goes up and around for the R and then stops, starts at the top again. Do any of the other signatures match that? They do not. So I'm not going to sit here and do a 20-minute analysis to try and figure out which ones. Let's just we'll just do a cursory look. This one's got a sharp point, so I don't think that one's probably it. Sharp point. I'm gonna make this one's a slanted R versus an upright R here. So which one could it be? That's tough. It might be. It's not six. I don't think it's six. Two, maybe not. And if they're using a different pen, that could be even more difficult. Perhaps it's 3 and 9? Probably not. Oh, look at that. I was right. How about that? I'm actually surprised I got that. In the 2 minutes that I was looking at this, I accurately determined which signature. I'm impressed by myself. I thought I was going to be wrong. I said going through 11 to try and figure out which ones were real. That's tough. That's a match. There you go. If I can do it, and I can do it that fast, imagine a person who's going through it and actually has the time to look down and match a single signature saying, base signature, does this one match? Yes or no? It's really easy. So this will be the question. So apparently I got it right, I guess. That's okay. I find here we go, actually. Oh, it looks like they then show this one slanted to the right and this one goes up. You want to know how I was able to get this? It's because of the Katie Hobbs signature verification PDF that I was just reading. I noticed that the slant of the letters in these are the same, and the other ones are all kind of different, in which case I said, it's probably these two. And there you go. A match. Good for me, I guess. Long story short, let's wrap this up. Carrie Lake is going to trial. Good for her. Let's see if she can prove, you know, her claims in court. I think there are arguments to be made about the Arizona election, which show you need heavy reform in that 19-inch ballots printed on 20-inch paper caused mass chaos. And they say, oh, but it didn't have an impact. I'm sure people left. We don't know how many. How do you track that stuff? We don't want disenfranchised voters. So it doesn't matter what the number is, fix it. As for Carrie Lake, let's see. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Bud Light is culturally dead. Taking a look at its sales for this week, it's down 27%. We got this image coming out of a CVS. Ain't nobody buying Bud Light. Clearance on special. You know what? Dude, I noticed the same thing. I didn't think twice about it. I just thought it was normal. We went to a grocery store, and in the front, it was like barbecue stuff. And it was like, get out there and barbecue. And there's a big thing of Bud Light. I didn't really think about it. My assumption was just that it's beer up near the barbecue stuff. Now looking at all this, I'm like, wait, beer outside of the liquor section in the front of the store? Okay, now that's kind of weird. It's because Bud Light's doomed. Look, people are going to buy Bud Light. Their sales are down around 27.7% year over year. It's been getting increasingly worse. It's probably going to get worse. Yo, their sales are down nearly 30%. Can you believe that? Wow. Take a look at this story. Bud Light sales falling by as much as 20% a week could be the new normal after Dylan Mulvaney debacle, unless something drastic changes. Industry analysts warn as cases lie untouched and unsold in Florida CVS. Oh boy. I was reading this article from the street. I love it. New Bud Light data suggests outrage against the company is waning. I called it. I called this. They're lying, of course. What I said was a certain number of people are going to say no more Bud Light. It will spread to their friends as more people learn about what's going on. And then it will probably taper off, right? Now they're saying it's waning simply because most people who don't like, but who would be pissed off about this have stopped drinking. Take a look at this data. Brian Sazi says Bud Light sales bottoming. You've got Budweiser, which dropped 5.9%, 10.7%, 13.1%, 15.9%, and then the next week, 14.5%. But then take a look at, so these are all of their brands dropping. This is really, really funny. You had Michelob Ultra in the first week or so of the boycott. No one really cared. Their sales were up. Busch Light was up. Then I think people realized, hey, this is all Anheuser-Busch. Now we're seeing some of the lesser brands or the other brands are seeing a slight recovery. Not Bud Light. Not Bud Light. He says Bud Light sales bottoming. You can say Anheuser-Busch maybe. But take a look at this. 27.7% down. That is so apocalyptically bad. And this is only a month of data. It says to May 6th. Absolutely incredible. It's going to keep happening because Bud Light disgusts people. This is the issue. You know, I try to avoid roping Dylan Mulvaney into this. But this is what people see when they think of Bud Light. I asked some people, you know, look, I want to stress, I mean no ill will towards Dylan Mulvaney. I don't like Dylan Mulvaney. I think Dylan Mulvaney is an evil individual. I mean that. I don't like using the word evil, and I don't take it lightly. But Dylan Mulvaney represents manipulation of the public for profit. I do not believe Dylan Mulvaney is trans. I believe Dylan Mulvaney is no different than any other actor getting surgery to appeal to people on camera. I think Dylan Mulvaney is an evil, evil person. And but other than that, like, look, I'll call a lot of people evil. I don't wish them ill will or anything like that. That being said, I think the reason Bud Light sales are dropping is that people are disgusted by Dylan Mulvaney. I, again, am not saying that to be derisive, to be mean to Dylan Mulvaney. I say that because I asked people. You know, initially I was saying it's because people don't want to look effeminate. I think a dude who's going to a baseball game doesn't want to be seen carrying around the beer associated with being a homosexual. So these guys want to go to the game. They want to rib with their buddies. They want to laugh and they want to be manly and they want to impress women. And they don't feel like they can do that with Bud Light. I still think that's true. But I had a lot of people tell me, when when I'm going out, hanging out on the weekends and stuff like that, I ask people, like, these are strangers, too. And I'll say, like, what do you think about the Bud Light stuff? And they'll be like, ah, ooh. And then they'll be like, oh, you're not going to drink it? And they're like, nope. And you know, I heard from a lot of people, it's because the thought of Bud Light disgusts them. I thought that was very interesting. I was like, disgust. I had one person overtly say it, but the attitude of many people was like, ugh. It wasn't so much like, oh, no, I don't do that. That's not me. It wasn't so much like, I want a manly beer. It was, ugh. I think Dylan Mulvaney is a, I think it was said by other people. Someone was mentioning, Washington Post columnist said, Dylan Mulvaney's strange, off-putting Audrey Hepburn act is, they didn't say disgusting. They said like off-putting, I think is the way it was described. I could be wrong. Off-putting or something, or attracting no one. I think the fake man pretending, it's like drag Audrey Hepburn. I think that grosses people out. And so this is what people have told me. The thought of getting a Bud Light just makes them grossed out. That's the association of Bud Light right now. And that's why people don't want to buy it. This past weekend, I went to a liquor store. I've said this a few times. And they had on the windows, Bud Light sale, sale, sale. It was like $17 for a 24-pack. Cheaper than this one. This one says $19.99. I don't know how much a 24 a Bud. Oh, this is an 18. Really? 18 cans? $20? Seems a little high. I don't know how much it normally costs. But you can see here it's on special because nobody's buying it. When I was at the liquor store, some lady was buying a bunch of Bud Light, probably because she didn't know and she didn't care. That's the thing about most people. Most people don't know and don't care, which is why I think this is going to get worse. They're saying it's bottoming out. I don't think we're going to see as big of a spike where, you know, when Kid Rock does that video, there's a huge drop off. More people start talking about what's going on. And then over the past few weeks, it gets worse and worse. And it's the worst it's been in the past week. However, I do think that what we are going to see, especially with the 4th of July coming up, is a major drop off year over year. Regular people are not going to come back to this brand because Bud Light. Oh, man, they tried. They did the Clydesdale thing, but they didn't apologize. They did not step away. They leaned in and they laughed the whole time. It's the most infuriating thing. And so they've dug their own grave. Bud Light wanted to embrace this. They say privately it was one campaign. It'll never happen again. But publicly, they won't say anything to us. They won't say, we're sorry. They won't say, let's get back to being an American brand. Well, Bud Light's owned by, a Dutch company or something like that? InBev? So they won't. Yuengling will. Yuengling posted a picture of the can being held up by next to an American flag. Yuengling, you got to expand your operations and distribution across the country. Make it bigger. But here's what I think is going to happen. That woman I saw buying Bud Light, she didn't know about this. She didn't care about this. But eventually, someone's going to show up with a bunch of Bud Light, and they're going to walk into the backyard and be like, I got the beer. And they're going to go, oh, you bought Bud Light? And they're going to go, yeah, you guys don't know. You know, like, dude, get out of here. No, I'm not drinking that stuff. I think we're going to see a lot of that. I mentioned this, too, a couple weeks ago. I was at an event, and they had a bar, and the beers are lined up on the counter, right? And I said, when the guy opened the fridge to get me a Yuengling, I can see the Bud Light in the fridge. And I was like, oh, you're not putting the Bud Light out? And he's like, no, I mean, if somebody asks for it, I'll sell it to him, I guess. But no, we're not putting it out. I thought that was hilarious that he was just like, nah, we don't want to put Bud Light out. So eventually just get rid of it. What seems to be happening now, because the rumors are circulating that Bud Light is giving away rebates. They're basically trying to give the beer away for free in a desperate attempt to make sales look like they're recovering. Good luck. Now, of course, Miller Lite's getting dragged because they apologize for using women in bikinis. It's the weirdest thing. Why don't you know what they should do? Miller, I got an idea. If you want to sell beer to women, here's what you do.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You take a classic beer commercial with busty women in bikinis walking up carrying the Miller to the guys, and you gender swap it. Everybody would find that funny and fun. Having like some women sitting in you know, like two women come into the backyard and they're just like, let's crack open a Miller. And they do. And then all of a sudden there's like ripped dudes in shorts being like, what's up, girls? You want a drink? And they're like, yeah, that'd be hilarious. Instead, they do this weird feminist woke thing with this like racist woman. And she's like, they made us wear bikinis. Can you believe it? Oh, yeah. Women are so dumb. They think when they personally buy a bikini, they're being forced to do it. I love it. I love the marketing strategy of all these companies. Look, Bud Light may start recovering a little bit. Some people probably didn't buy it because they were embarrassed. Some people probably forget, but I think they'll never recover. I think they'll recover a little bit. What I mean is they'll never go back to where they were. Bud Light is a disgusting brand now. And all anyone can think about when they think of Bud Light is Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan Mulvaney is nails on a chalkboard, and that's putting it lightly. Nails on a chalkboard. That's the whole, like, the commercial where Dylan's, like, twitching. Like, I don't know if you've seen it. Dylan, to me, looks unwell. Like, twitching back and forth. And I'm like, what is this? It's like, at least the feminist thing I can understand. Like, ha, women don't want to be objects. We want to drink beer. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I don't really care all that much. I think it was a dumb commercial. And I don't want to drink garbage. They're going to compost. If you didn't see it, they're going to compost the Miller ads and beer ads and then grow hops from it. And I'm like, that's disgusting. There's chemicals in that paper. Please do not do that. And that's apparently what they're going to do. So sure, dyes and chemicals in your hops. And they're going to donate the hops to Lady Brewers so they can make cheaper beer or something. And I'm just like, okay, so now I got to avoid women breweries because you might have garbage hops in the beer. I don't want that. Sorry. That's just gross. But anyway, at least I understand that. The Dylan Mulvaney thing is just nails on a chalkboard. And as I've already stated, a lot of people tell me they're disgusted at the thought. And that when they look at Bud Light, this is what they imagine. They think it's gross. Again, I am not saying that about Dylan Mulvaney. Dylan, do whatever Dylan wants. But I'm just saying that's what I've heard from people. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 6 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then. Because I love capitalism so much, it brings me great pleasure to read you the news. Anti-capitalist coffee shop shuts down in Toronto after only 1 year due to lack of income. F the colonial death camp we call Canada. Canada. I'd like to go to their website. I'd like to read you about why they're closing down. And then I just want to rant about business and why communists fail. Oh, you'll love this one. Sadly, the Anarchist will be closing its doors on May 30th. The first thing I want to say, I'm so excited, is that I'm sad this business is closing down. I respect and appreciate the attempt at running this business in a unique way. This is what makes capitalism so great. A decentralized network of individuals trying to make things of value to better society and then trading amongst each other. Now, there are problems that come along with that. Drugs and addiction and things like that. You know, coffee, it's addictive, caffeine. And so we tolerate certain things because mostly we find coffee to be a good thing. That even though it is addictive, like the worst thing is you get a headache for a day or whatever, and then you're over. It's not like it kills you or anything like that. But I like the idea of decentralized networks working towards building value. For this business, I appreciate the attempt. And it's sad to see any business fail, but that's reality. Let me tell you, he says, it's been an amazing experience connecting with so many of you. He says, raising the blood pressure of conservatives, including you, anarcho-capitalists and libertarians. I love that. Why would you raise their blood pressure? You failed. Their blood pressure is only up because they're laughing at you. But here's the point. This was an expensive cafe that claimed to be anarchist and is shutting down. And he has all of these little things all over his website about just like hating the right, F the rich, F the police, F the state, F the colonial death camp we call Canada. So I popped over to the FAQs. Why are your prices so high? I love this. So you mean to tell me that when you go to the corporate Starbucks, it's cheaper? No. Hey, look, I don't like Starbucks as a corporation, but I will tell you this. I go to a local cafe. They don't carry heavy whipping cream. That is offensive. Half and half? Get out of here with that. I don't drink that garbage. There's sugar in it. All right. I'm half kidding about the sugar, but I like heavy whipping cream in my coffee more than I like half and half because it just makes it creamier and more delicious. Starbucks has heavy whipping cream. And no problem. You say, I want a coffee. We'll have a heavy cream in it. They go, boop, there you go. No issue. And it's not that expensive. That's why they're successful. Now, I'd like to beat them at their own game because I'm not a fan of Starbucks. Yo, I went to a Starbucks in Virginia yesterday. No joke. Not kidding. There were two Starbucks right next to each other. Not kidding. One was inside a supermarket and you can see in the window Starbucks. And then right next to it was a standalone Starbucks. And I was like, wow. But you know what it is? The demand was so high that both had lines. So they're just basically running two registers slightly separated. That's how much people love Starbucks. Take a look at this. Let's talk business. He goes on to say, for the entirety of my adult life, I've been working in the specialty coffee industry. This is basically the small part of the coffee industry that deals with the highest quality coffee from the taste perspective. As with a lot of quality-oriented niche things, a lot of the people getting into this area weren't actually rich people until recently and have just been driven by a passion for the coffee, blah, blah, blah. That's why it's so expensive to buy from me. Now, he says he did have some pay-what-you-will models. And what I've heard is that, here's what he says. That's why I started doing pay-what-you-can drip coffee, which loses me money, but is subsidized by the more expensive drinks. That's also why I continue to scrutinize my prices and look for opportunities to lower them. Maybe when the shop has a couple more workers, allowing us to make significantly more drinks per day, we'll be able to do an across-the-board price cut. Basically, a latte could cost, you know, however many dollars. He says, $5 to $6 croissants or something. But the drip coffee was pay me what you can. It wasn't a mention. You have people in designer suits paying $1 for a coffee and unhoused people. It's just such a disgusting and offensive psychopathic cult term. Unhoused. Trying to give me 10. No, you don't, you liar. Please.
Unhoused people trying to give me $10.
These people are in a cult. I got a story for you. I'm 16 years old. I get off the red line in Chicago. I've been working a minimum wage job. And I got my paycheck, so I had a couple $100, and I was very excited. I get off the train, and there's a homeless guy. And he's like, man, could you help me get some food? And I was like, yeah, I can help you get some food. And I walk up to the little kiosk where they had food, and I said, just pick one thing to drink and one thing to eat. And he goes, all right, let me get the Cheetos. Let me get the ginger ale and Newport Box 100s. And then the guy was like, I can't sell the cigarettes because this kid's 16 years old. And he was like, give me the money. And I was like, dude, I'm not buying you cigarettes. And he goes, I thought you was cool, man. And I was like, all right, dude, here's the money. Be happy. There you go. This dude was not about to give $10 for a cup of coffee. No, these cult members are liars. But I love this. I love this. Here's one of the FAQ questions. Where did you get the investment capital, vomit me, to start the business? I didn't. Pop Coffee Works, who are my house roaster and landlord at the cafe, extremely generously offered to let me take over their pre-existing cafe for 6 months for free. After that, I'll be paying them a very discounted rent. With their incredibly anti-capitalist generosity, the cafe would never have happened, and I would never have been able to afford to start my own business without selling my soul to some sketchy investors. So all I had to pay for at the start was anything I wanted to sell, and the internet and utilities. Even that was a lot more money than I had, but with the magic of credit card debt, I was able to get the ball rolling and have gradually been adding to the shop as things sell. I read this and my brain nearly exploded. Oh, you're so cute, leftists. Let me explain. I love business. So the free rent is taxable income. The credit card debt is a loan from a bank. Wow. These people are so stupid, so insanely stupid, and they vote. Now, this guy's up in Canada, fine, but holy crap. How do we deal with such stupid people, man? This one breaks my heart, but makes me laugh at the same time. A business owner that gives you free rent in the United States, I can't speak for Canada, is legally required to they're giving you something of value. Now, in the United States, $15,000 is the gift exchange. After that, you can go for like a lifetime gift thing. But typically, there's a consideration here. This is a landlord renting you property at a discounted rate. Yeah, that's taxable income, my friend. Free rent does not exist. Remember when Oprah gave all those cars away and then everyone had to pay taxes on the income? That's how taxes work. Thanks, socialists. And I love how he says credit card debt. Credit card debt is quite literally a bank issuing you a loan. You have to pay it back with interest. What do you think investment capital is? Oh, and this is why he went out of business. Because he's like, I'm going to give things away for free because I'm a communist. And then you can't pay for things. Let me tell you, I'll give you some advice. We're opening a coffee shop. Here's what we're going to do. You see, we sell coffee at castbrew.com and we make profit on that coffee. And do you know what we do with that profit? We reinvest it into expanding the business. I have lost a lot of money launching castbrew.com, our own coffee brand. We've sold out of our two signature blends, Rise with Roberto Jr. and Appalachian Nights. We still have available some Colombian and French roast, standard roasts. We are working on a couple suggestions from our fans and members. We have Sleepy Joe Decaf, Unwoke Decaf. We have Focus with Mr. Bocus, and we have Mr. Bocus Pumpkin Spice Experience. We're very excited for this. Launching each one of these is ridiculously expensive. We have to pay for thousands of bags up front. They have to be printed. It takes weeks. I had to invest, let me just say, tens of thousands of dollars, nearly $100,000 to get this off the ground, to be able to start this business. So we have to charge more money than it costs to make these things. Why? One, to make back the initial investment made, because we're trying to run a business successfully. After we pay back the initial investment or loan, how do we, what do we then do with the profit margin? We then take that and we put it into a savings account. Why? In the event there is a disruption, we need money to buy new products, to recover any losses. This is the problem with doing a pay whatever you want thing. If you're giving coffee away, one day you'll have a batch of coffee on a truck. It will be delivered to you. And then all of a sudden rats will burst from it. You'll call up your supplier and say, yo, what's with all these coffee bags full of rats? And they'll say, we know what you're talking about. We delivered. Take it up with the delivery company. Delivery company say, all we do is transport. Take it up with the coffee roaster. And then you'll be sitting there holding an empty bag with no coffee. And you'll say, we have no coffee. Where am I going to find $10,000 to buy coffee for the shop? Sure, you can sue, you can complain, and maybe in a few weeks you might get some new coffee. Or maybe the company even says, sorry about that. We'll have a new fresh batch roasted and sent to you. It'll be there in 10 days. What am I going to do now? I got to get coffee. Well, do you have any money? No. You have no savings? Why? Oh, because you were giving your coffee away for free? Brilliant strategy. I just love this. I love this. Credit card debt. Bro, you asked a bank for a loan. That's called investment capital. Are your workers a co-op? Not yet. Is your coffee ethically sourced? There is, of course, no ethical consumption under capitalism. Yeah, and today there still isn't. How can you be anti-capitalist if you sell things, LOL? Oh, good. Another business owned by a rich white guy. Well, not a question. This criticism is at least partially a valid reaction to the imperfect media coverage I've received so far. It would be one of my first reactions if I heard about the business. However, the first thing I do about the reaction, blah, 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 blah. I am definitely not rich. I come from working class background. My dad eventually selling his soul to teach at a private school did give me some middle class privilege.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Okay, dude. Have been a server my entire adult life. I am white, cisgender, queer man. When I used to daydream about opening my own cafe, the idea always left a bad taste in my mouth because I also feel bad the world doesn't need more things owned by people. Hypocrisy. That's it. Hypocrisy. Their ideas are bad. That's why they don't work. I don't charge people. I don't take profit off of my sales because I'm trying to buy myself an infinity pool. We sell coffee at castbrew.com. Buy some. And there is a overhead percentage more than it costs to make the coffee. Even though we've done that, we are still losing money. Because here's what happened. We launched. We sold out of our signature blends. Now we have to reorder. We have some money from the profits, but the total amount of profits don't cost the new amount that we have to order, seeing how many people were ordering. Now, what we could do is we could say, hey, look, we actually made a little bit extra money. So that means we can order the same amount. And in about 6 weeks, we'll have a fresh, small batch, and then we'll sell out in another 2 weeks. That means you as a customer have to wait a month or so in between being able to buy coffee. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it? Considering the demand is there, we want to make sure we're roasting just enough to keep. We want to find that happy medium where the coffee is always fresh, delivered to you, and that we're not selling out so that no one can get it. So that means now that we see we've made some money, I have to put more money in to do a bigger batch plus K-cups, initial investment. I do believe we'll make the money back because Casper.com is generating revenue. But then we have to put aside 3 to 6 months of all of the money we make in a savings account or a safe investment in the event there is a crisis and we lose money. Maybe a portion of the coffee goes bad. Maybe something happens and we have to spend money on legal fees. Who knows? We need a safety net so that the company can survive. So maybe in about a year or two, as even this guy points out, the profits coming in every month will be considered then income. But I have a feeling that won't be the case for maybe 10 years. I do not expect to generate profit from the company for myself on Casper.com. This is the real hippie, lefty, anarchist, whatever response. I am going to reinvest all of the money. It's actually the capitalist response. I'm going to reinvest the money in making sure that the employees we hire on are well paid, that they have benefits, that we can open new locations, that we can challenge the corporate, the establishment, the woke, the ESG. So I will tell you this. The reason this story makes me laugh. I am going to do what you could not, sir. I am going to open a legitimate coffee shop with real values, with fair trade organic coffee that we sell at a lower markup than the corporate brands, put them out of business and do right by our people and our customers. And we're going to build culture all over this country, and we're going to win. I appreciate the effort, dude. I think it's great that you tried something new. Sorry to see it didn't work out. But really, I think you're a hypocrite. Next segment's coming up in a few minutes. Stick around, and I'll see you all shortly. This is the kind of video that you can share with your friends and family who are left or anti-Trump or whatever. This is not a video intended to convince them of anything, but to show them a window into why so many people don't like their politics. This is a video of children chanting, "We support asylum seekers, but not on school grounds." I have another video to show you of a woman who clearly has no idea what's going on or what she's talking about, but belligerently making demands anyway. And I will explain to you the problem we have. First, here is the video. They're not very enthused, I might add. Apparently what's happening is their gym is being taken away to house illegal immigrants, which they call asylum seekers. They're not. They're illegal immigrants. They're economic migrants. We know this because there are reporters at the border who are asking these men why they're coming, and it's mostly men, and they're saying because they were told online the border was open and there are jobs. Calling them asylum seekers? That's just incorrect. That's what they try and claim, though, because they're lying to you. So here we have these kids who clearly don't seem to care all that much, probably were told to protest, saying, "We support asylum seekers, but not on school grounds." Where are they going to go? Where are you going to put them? You're going to put them in my house? Not in my backyard, so saith these children. And therein lies the big problem. They will claim to support asylum seekers, but then push them off on you. This is evil. It's the banality of evil. You mean to tell me, liberal, that you would bring in a migrant and then kick them to the dirt? That's what these people are doing. Don't be like them. If you're going to bring them into your home. Because I know a bunch of liberals and leftists who did just that. And I respect them for doing so. They go out and they say, we got to help refugees, migrants, etc. I say, okay, are you? And they say, yes, I am. And they're in my house right now. And I say, that's really commendable of you. Thank you. I genuinely believe you actually care. But these people, they don't care. They don't care at all. Oh, take a look at this video.
Who are they? Exactly. Who are they?
Families who fled war.
They're not families.
They're not families?
No, they're men.
They're men coming in.
Okay. They're all individual
Why
men.
Why are they
fleeing? And they can come and go
Why
as they please.
But
and
they shouldn't
is a
be
school.
Near the children.
Have you found out why
this
they're
This is
fleeing?
A school. Why is there school safety in school? Why do we need school safety officers?
Why are they unsafe?
Why do we
do
need school
safety? Do you have a criminal
officers?
Record? Do you have proof of a criminal record?
How about you call the mayor and say you want to have them live in your house?
Sure.
Good. Get a name and send them to the
what
mayor.
What is this fear?
Could this what it's is, not fear.
It's fear.
This is fear. This is fear, this woman. I'm going to play the beginning for you again.
Who are they?
Who are they? Exactly.
Exactly.
Who are they?
Families who fled war.
They're not families.
Families who fled war. It's the banality of evil. This woman is evil. Notice that even when she's proven wrong, she still maintains the position that adult male economic migrants should be given our resources.
They're not families?
No, they're men.
Men coming in.
Okay. They're all individual
Why
men.
Why are they fleeing?
And they can come and go.
Fleeing? They're not fleeing. They're coming here for work. Now, let me give a shout out to our good friend Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert. Down in El Salvador, migrants up here going back. I'm jealous. I want to go to El Salvador. We're hearing stories that El Salvador is doing so well. They haven't had a murder in 3 months. There's some misleading news that's coming out, but they haven't had a murder in 3 months. And I met one guy who said he was from El Salvador, said he was actually going to go back. His family's probably telling him it's getting really good. The economy's booming. Your opportunity is here, man. I got to be honest. For me personally, I don't want to give anybody advice. It does seem like investing in El Salvador is a really, really good idea. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm looking into it. Because of the way they're handling things and fixing that country, I wonder if we may actually see a lot of these migrants want to go there instead. I wonder what El Salvador will do. Now, here's a country that's thriving, that really could use some economic migrants, a real opportunity. In the meantime, what we have here in the United States are leftist liberals. These are people, they're sanctimonious. I know Donald Trump likes a de-sanctimonious of Santis, even though DeSwamptus is way better, mind you. DeSwamptus, way better. Anyway, de-sanctimonious, these people assert themselves of higher moral ground than you, but they would condemn these people to homelessness. Maybe they'll finally wake up. Take a look at this. Lawsuits fly. Hotel allegedly boots homeless veterans. Wedding parties to make room for migrants. Maybe now these hoity-toity liberals will be like, oh no, my wedding was canceled. Maybe then they'll vote against this corruption. I think mostly they won't. Because you know what I see? When I see these kids saying, we support asylum seekers, non-school kids, they really don't care. What I see is people saying, thank you, government, for only striking me in the face 2 times and not 3. They're placing people with no resources and no homes in your community who are then dragging down what limited resources you have. You're thanking the government for doing it, but saying, please just don't put them in my school. Where are they going to put them? In your hospital? In your backyards, maybe in your homes. I think this is what we should do. I think Republicans right now, Republicans, hear me. I'm gonna call up Matt Gaetz. I want this bill proposed, Matt, where you say migrants placed in cities must be placed in the homes of individuals who live there. In the homes. Let's see how quickly the Democrats say no. No, you can't do that. That's cruel. Not in my house. Say, if migrants are brought to specific states, then they must be housed in the homes of civilians. You have no Third Amendment right pertaining to illegal immigrants, do you? Look what happened when Ron DeSantis sent migrants to Martha's Vineyard, illegal immigrants. They lost their minds. Let's do this. Let's make sure that any migrant transported to New York or California gets a nice, comfortable home in their homes. Let's see how fast they spin around and say, seal the border. They won't. What I mean is they won't require Democrats to actually foot the bill for what they demand. So what do we have? I'll lay it down for you simply. It's like you're chilling at your buddy's house or you're chilling at home. And then your roommate orders a bunch of food, brings the food in, says, hey, can you pay for this? And you go, no. And they're like, well, someone's got to pay for it. Then you get the pizza guy being like, hey, man, you guys just stole pizza from me. And you're like, dude, I didn't order it. It's him. I'm like, well, I'm calling the cops. The cops show up and blame both of you, making you pay. That's what they're doing. Democrats are telling all of us in America to foot the bill because they want illegal immigrants in this country. They lie. No, they're asylum seekers. Yeah, sure. You got to pay for it, though. We won't. It would be like your buddy orders a bunch of cabbage and then tells you he ordered pizza. You got to pay for it. And you're like, I don't want to pay. Like, what is this? And then your other roommate's like, dude, he didn't order pizza. He ordered cabbage. And then you're like, I don't know, man. I'll just pay for it. And then you walk in the kitchen and there's cabbage. No, don't get me wrong. Cabbage is good. Okay, but it's not pizza. Pizza's real good. I just love this video of these students. I think the parents put them up to it. We support asylum seekers, but not on school grounds. Oh, man, these are evil, evil people. And this is what we are seeing happen across this country. Not in my backyard. In California, where they have a Democrat supermajority, they do not solve these problems. They make them worse. Dave Chappelle roasting San Francisco. What happened to this city? Yeah, Democrats, what happened to this city? And it's been happening nonstop. Chicago's been run by Democrats for 100 years, and it has been in decay my entire life. And this is what you see. This is what you get. Complete and utter hypocrisy that we have to pay for. This is why I'm not surprised people keep saying national divorce. Because then we say, oh, yeah, migrants want to come in. We'll send them to your country. The United States of Canada, they called it in Jesus land. I don't care what you call it. But then we can say, you can have all the illegal immigrants you want. We don't care. We have a different immigration system. And then what's going to happen? The left likes to point out the red state economies are so bad. So bad. Why are they? Okay. Well, let's see what happens when you separate. And the red state economies start developing and controlling for their population economics. And you Democrats start taking in a whole bunch of illegal immigrants. Let's see what happens. And the argument they make is more people means more demand, means rapid development. But that only applies to skilled labor in balance. Meaning if you bring in a whole bunch of people whose only skill is farming, congratulations, every farming job is filled and you've got a bunch of hungry people who can't work. This is how insane things have gotten in this country, isn't it? I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up tonight at 8 p.m. over at youtube.com/TimCastIRL. Thanks for hanging out, and I'll see you all then.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.